right. They're life and death, aren't they? Life and death. And
that is awesome and exciting. We serve a real God, amen?
Amen.
And not just that, but we serve a God of real power, amen?
Amen?
And we serve a God who is near. And I get so excited about God. And I remember when I was first saved, I'd asked a prayer of God. God, don't ever, because someone had said to me, let me fill this in first. Someone had said to me, oh, I love the enthusiasm of a new believer. Isn't it gorgeous? And I went home, and I had been serving the Lord by this time for about a month. So for me, it was like a long time, right? and I remember kneeling down beside my bed. I can picture it to this day and saying, God, don't ever, ever let me lose my passion. Don't let this grow cold. Let me keep this fervent. And you know what God did? He answered that prayer in abundance. Those of you who know me know I get pretty excited about God. And I never want to lose that. Don't ever lose that, because we serve a God of miracles. And when we get those prayer requests, they are life and death to somebody. And if that were you, you'd want to know, Betty said, 18 people are praying for you right now. When she says that, she wants to know she's speaking truth. And that means something to the person sitting there, because at that time when they're leaning on doctors and stuff that is not secure, they can relax and rest in God. Amen. If you have your Bible here, you know what? This is cute. I want to do this. Kids. Yeah, kids, you are allowed to. Kids, come. We are going to send you to kids' church. If you are here this morning and you have your Bible, and if it's a handheld device, I'm cool with that. I'm not sticky that it has to be paper. Stick it in the air. Let me see it. I want to see the Bibles this morning. Oh, bring your Bibles to church. Thank you, Cass. Dan's going
to
pray with those
kids. I get to pray with you guys today. That's a scary big Bible, and I've heard, back before I became a Christian, I heard that sometimes Christians go around thumping people with their Bibles. You're well armed, so, and never once did that ever happen to me, that somebody thumped me with their Bible, by the way. They love me good. So, hey, kids, remember at the end of this, we're going to say a big amen, right? Are you ready? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we are always thankful. Thank you for Cass, for taking this responsibility, this... Thank you for Sunday school. Thank you for children. Thank you for church. Thank you for mom and dads that see the great value in bringing children to church. And thank you, God, that you meet us here. I know you do, and that you're going to go with these children, with Cass and with the teachers and all, and the helpers, and just, you know, bless their time together. And we pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said...
Amen.
All right. Amen. See you later. Thank you.
When I see that Bible, I'm reminded of the days before the printing press of Gutenberg, which the Bibles would have to be handwritten. And so a Bible could weigh over in excess of 350 pounds. And because they were so valuable, because they were handwritten, they had to chain them to the pulpit because people would steal them. Oh, and then the printing press was created to resolve that problem. In fact, the printing press was created for the Bible. And the Bible was the very first book ever printed on a printing press. I don't know how many of you knew that, but just a little fun fact for you. Oh, we're so lucky that I own quite a few. We're so lucky that we have the Word of God that we can tuck in our purses now, or even in a handheld device. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to start reading at verse number 10. So Hebrews 13, we're going to go 10 to 16. Give you a chance to thumb through that. And we're up on the board. Good. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For there we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking a city which is to come. Through him then, Let us continue to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. I can remember hearing, and probably some of you have, and it's not unapplicable. Don't I'm not countering it, but I can remember hearing the sacrifice of praise is praising God when it's hard to do. It's a sacrifice. But I'm going to correct that a little bit this morning, because I do believe that there is that kind of a sacrifice of praise, that giving glory to God when it is not the easy thing to do. But the sacrifice of praise does not always have to be mournful and dreadful. The sacrifice of praise, sacrifice is giving something that is valuable. And when you are giving praises to God, you are giving something valuable. What a wonderful thing to be able to give God something valuable, because really, what have you got that is of any worth to God? Your praise, apparently, is valuable. And the sacrifice of praise is something that we should do, according to the scripture, and we're going to get more into it, continually. So it's not always in the hard times, it's in the good times, it's in the humdrum times, it's all the time. And when I looked into the sacrifice of praise, it was something other than I expected, because I always thought that was the hard thing, to sacrifice the praise. And I have found over the years, the more I praise him, the more I experience him. The more I experience him, the more I want to praise him. And the more I want to praise him, the more I experience him, and the more and it goes on, and it just gets better. It's a powerful, wonderful thing to be in a relationship with God. The first aspect of this sacrificial praise that we're going to look at this morning is that it is a form of spiritual sacrifice. Spiritual sacrifice. The scriptures that we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. What is he talking about there? This is an access to God. In the Old Testament covenant that they had to sacrifice bulls and rams and lambs, and all this process of shedding of blood to purge away sin so that they could enter into the holiest of holies. The average Joe did not get to go there. Sorry, Janetta. The average person was not allowed in. Only the high priest was allowed in to the holiest of holies. Only he could go there. You see, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, we all have access into that holy of holies. And so we have the right to go there into the holies of holies. It's a spiritual sacrifice. Jesus made the way, and then we come. Jesus, in the book of John, said to the woman at the well, an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. I love that verse. God is looking for worshipers. He's looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not just singing a song, not without your heart, not bringing all your garbage. You have to purge that away, because when you walk before a holy God, you need to purge that garbage out of your heart. Your sacrifice of praise is going to be affected, because truth is in this, and God knows the truth of what's going on inside of you, and he wants that removed, not because he's angry with it, because it's sin, and he wants it off of you, and he doesn't like it on you, and you need to purge it, because God is looking for worshipers. He's looking, and you know what the Bible says? When you're worshiping, his eyes are upon you. Powerful stuff. His eyes are upon you. God is looking at you. That is, there are millions of people in this world, and God is looking at you. Gotta love this stuff. God is spirit, it goes on to say, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. this verse, through him in verse 15 of the text that we had, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. It is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, not through our own righteousness. It's through Jesus. It's spiritual. 1 Peter 2 talks about us in verse 5 and verse 9. It describes who we are. You also, as living stones, and this is the whole church, this is not just the pastors here. All of us are included in this verse. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of Jesus, this is you. You're living stones being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is that spiritual sacrifice? It's your praise. It's your love as you give yourselves to God. Verse 9, it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, because you get to go into the holies of holies, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There is something very unique about a believer in Jesus. We're a special group of people, amen. True followers of Jesus are the only ones who are capable of making these offerings according to this. Paul, in the Hebrew letter, made this bold statement about the difference between us and the Levitical priesthood. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right. We need to understand our role. We need to understand our position. I think it's important. I believe it's the will of God, and we're going to look at that again later. It is the will of God that we offer up the sacrifice of praise. We're called priests to the Lord. We now have direct access to God. This is not a small thing. This is not a small thing. I honestly believe that if this truth, that we have direct access to God, sunk deep in our hearts, in our minds, when we are accessing God, that every part of your life would be transformed. How you look at your brother and sister in the Lord should be transformed because you're walking into the holies of holies and you begin to adopt his heart of love and his heart to reach the hurting, his heart to reach the lost and his heart for righteousness. And you begin to adopt that personality because you're in his presence. It starts to rub off on you. The proper way to approach God in Psalm 100 is to enter his presence or his gates with thanksgiving. I believe, pardon me, as priests of God, it is important for you to begin your prayer time with some worship. The most intimate times I've spent with God began with worship. And that's why we typically start our services with singing as a form of worship and getting connected with God. And we see, I've preached it before, the power of music as we take on our enemy. Instead of our seeing our role as a burden, it should be a delight. The part that makes it a burden is our lack of understanding who God is. It's not about the worship band. It's not about the temperature in the sanctuary. And it's not about the kind of a day you're having. Sacrificial praise is not about you. It is about God. It is your recognition of who he is, and he never changes. He never changes. You change like the wind. One day you're up, one day you're down, if you're like me. One day you're happy, one day you're sad. The enemy is trying hard to prevent us from worshiping God. I'm not making light of that. But I'm telling you, we need to overcome it because we are his priests. We are called to do this. This is what God wants from us. This is the one thing we can give him that's of any value. And yet sometimes we tend to hold it back because we're not feeling good. Well, I got to tell you, That if it's about how hard your day is, then your praise is all about you and not about God. And we need to understand the power that takes place when we draw nigh into God's holy presence and allow his presence to be manifested. So the sacrifice of praise is a form of spiritual sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips. Interesting concept, the fruit of our lips. Fruit in the Bible and works are two different things. And gifts are another thing yet again. Gifts are the things that God gives us using his Holy Spirit that we can minister to the saints. We can be his hands and his mouth and under the unction of the Holy Spirit speak on his behalf. Those are the gifts. The fruit of the Spirit, now this is the heart. This is what's going on inside you. And when God is talking about praise, he's not interested in how many gifts you have because he gave them to you anyway. He is interested in your heart. Your heart is like so important. Verse 14, through him then let us continually offer up the sacrifice of God, praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said this, people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That praise meant nothing because their heart wasn't even in line with God. If your heart is not right with God, your worship is going to be affected. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 12:13-14, I'm just going to rip off a bunch of scriptures here to show you the fruit coming from the heart, coming off of your lips. 13, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. Matthew 12:33-36, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees here. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The heart and the lips are very connected. The good man out of the good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth what is evil. Luke 6:45 says the same thing in a much more succinct manner. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. A real test of what is going on in your heart and what is going, how your praise is affected by God is affected by all of this. This is all together here. It's not just what you're talking about. This is all together. What's in your heart, you can't just turn on and off when you start to praise God and when you're talking with your fellow brothers and sisters of the Lord. A real test of what's going on in your heart is what is coming out of your mouth. What are you saying? How are you saying it? Who are you saying it to? Watch this, because if things are coming out of your mouth and you're just, oh, like David put a guard at my mouth, how many of us have been there, right? But it's a sign. There's something going on inside your heart that needs to be dealt with. And the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on that. Get rid of it now. Deal with it fast, because you want to keep your heart pure. So a good test of what is going on in your heart is examining what's coming out of your mouth. Proverbs 4:23. Powerful verse. Everyone should memorize this one. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. I wrote this down years ago, and I don't know if I made it up or if I copied it off of somebody. It looks like something I would have copied, so I'm not going to take credit for it. If your is the beginning of this. If your heart is not amazed by the grace of God, if your mind is not gripped by the truth of God, if your sense of right and wrong is not permeated by the justice of God, if your faith is not resting in the power of God, if your imagination is not guided by the beauty of God, if your life is not steadied by the sovereignty of God, if your hope is not filled with the glory of God, then your praise is what Paul calls a work under the law and not the fruit of the Spirit. Praise for God that is not sustained by wonder at God is a weariness of the flesh. We must cultivate that powerful, exciting relationship with God and allow that revival in your heart, that revival of that relationship in your heart towards God. We need an awakening and a heartfelt love and desire for the glory of God to be revealed in us and in our praise. And if there's a problem with your praise, if you can come and praise God and feel nothing, it's not anybody's fault. It's a heart issue, and you need to deal with that. What kind of fruit are you cultivating in the garden of your heart? Is it bitterness and strife? Or is it love and passion and glory for God and love for the brethren that flows from that? We have to work on this, all of us, all the time, that the fruit of our lips would give praise to God and thanksgiving. We worship him in spirit and in truth, and we can't hide that stuff. We can deceive other people. We can deceive ourselves. But we cannot deceive God. I would encourage you today, I love that Hebrews uses that word a lot. It's Thanksgiving. What a great day to renew that wonderful covenant of love and relationship with God and remove all that stuff that would cause the hindrance for the fruit of your lips to be praising God. Amen. Sacrifice of praise is a form of spiritual sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips. And thirdly, the sacrifice of praise is to be continuous. Verse 15, continually, it says, to offer up the sacrifice of praise. How do we remain passionate about God? Well, we can ask him for it. It doesn't hurt. We used to sing this song, Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be yours and yours alone. I think I got some of this wrong. Never let my heart grow cold. Never, never let me go. Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. That is a powerful song. I remember singing that too in church and being on my tippy toes and reaching as far up as I could to God and begging him, never, never, never let my heart grow cold. This is important for us. Never let your heart grow cold. Don't let your feelings dictate how your spiritual life is going to go. Don't let your spiritual life dictate how your feelings are going to follow. Amen? Get this. This is a very important thing. The Word of God is your guide. It really is. It's powerful. It's so full of great stuff. This is what's going to dictate. Let your feelings follow. Don't let your feelings lead. And sometimes, Dobson wrote the greatest book, you know. Feelings, can they be trusted? First answer, no. We have to watch this stuff. We have to always watch this stuff. If you're going to let your feelings dictate your behavior, whether or not you serve God, if you're going to let your feelings dictate whether or not you say that mean thing or not, you're serving yourself. You're not serving God. And your life is going to end up in complete and utter shipwreck, and you'll probably take people down with you. On the other hand, if I were to say to you, our God reigns. Would you say amen? Amen? God's love is amazing. Amen? God never changes. Amen? And God is worthy of your praise. Amen? You see, we agree on these things, and these are powerful truths. And this is what we base our praise on. This is how we praise God. This is the starting point right there. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're being born again in Jesus Christ, and our God reigns. I love we used to sing that song. We're going to bring it back. God's love is amazing. God never changes, and he's worthy of our praise no matter what we went through to get here, no matter what happened in our week, no matter how far that loved one is away from the Lord and you're praying him back because you need to get into God's presence to get something done about it anyway. So you might as well just put that aside and start to worship God for who he is continually, not just when you feel good. Oh, God is great every day, every minute of every day, forever and ever. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always. Boy, that sounds hard for me. Pray without ceasing. Oh, there's another tough one. Give in everything, give thanks. This is so hard. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. These three things, like rejoice and pray and give thanks in everything. This is God's will. How many of you have ever wondered, I wonder what God's will is for my life? And we kind of wander around and we think maybe God doesn't even have a plan. Well, start here. Start here. You get this, and then you can start worrying about the other stuff. Because actually the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And he's not making it hard for us. He spelled it out right here. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pretty clear. So everything before that applies. Philippians 4:4-6. Rejoice in the Lord always. It just sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? And again, I'll say, rejoice. What kind of rejoicing are we talking about here? There are people who go through hard times, and it is hard. I know. I've been there. Hard to raise your hand and say, praise God. Very, very hard. That's when it's about me. Get past that. It's about God, and it's not about that opening your Christmas present Sunday morning kind of rejoicing sometimes. Sometimes it's the kind of rejoicing that, you know, God, even though my life is awful, I am so glad that you have not changed. I am so glad that you are Almighty God. That is praise. In the midst of your trial, you can still say that. That is praise. That is high praise. And that's the kind of praise that God looks at and he's looking for in his believers. In the verse 5 of Philippians 4-6, I was going to read the whole thing there. Let your forbearing, that's your tender-hearted, loving, taking a lot of garbage kind of a thing, spirit, be known to all men, the Lord is near. That the Lord is near, by the way, that is not just, you know, he's looking at you and he's right beside you and stuff like that. What that actually means is God is coming right away. Never lose sight of that. God is coming right away. You don't know the hour, the minute, the day, and God could come even before we're done here today, and you just don't know. So you need to be doing this all the time, all the time. Be on your toes. Be anxious, verse 6, for nothing, but in everything. Here it is again, everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving for everything. Let your requests be made known to God. God loves to have conversation with you is what I pull out of that. He loves it, and he wants you to be thankful, and he's going to take you through every little thing you go through, every big thing you go through, and everything in between that means nothing. Verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is a promise packed into this. I'm holding on to that. Because if you can get a hold of this, if you can learn how to rejoice in who God is, if you can learn how to have that conversation with God all the time, all the time, all the time, and allow your trust in who he is, because when you praise him, you begin to recognize who he is. The more you praise him, the more you discover who he is, and the more you are in awe and wonder of him, and all of a sudden, all the things that are awful in your life begin to seem small because we serve an incredibly big God. And if your God is not bigger than your problems, your eyes are on the ground. Get them up onto the Almighty God and quit looking at the dirt and begin to praise him for who he is. Amen? Oh, I love this stuff. And I'm almost out of time. When you develop continuous praise of God, allowing yourself to dwell on his greatness and the wonderful gift of salvation, your passion will not wither and wane with the hardships of life. This is why it needs to be continuous. If it's only when you feel good, I can trust the enemy is going to make sure you never feel good. It's got to be all the time, all the time. No matter what, be in a praiseful place with the Lord. Amen. If I can encourage you anything in this Thanksgiving morning, it would be to determine to do this, verse 17, through him, through Jesus Christ, through your salvation in Jesus Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. Can we just bow our heads this morning? I want to give everyone in this room an opportunity. Maybe your life is not where you want it to be with God. Maybe praise and worship is a hard thing. and you're a believer in Christ, but you're saying, Pastor Judy, this is hard for me because I've been hurt or I'm angry or there's stuff going on in my world, and I just need to get my heart right with the Lord. If that's you this morning, I want you to slide your hand in there. I want to pray for you right where you are. I believe in the power of God. Thank you. Is there any more hands? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you saw those hands that went up this morning. And Father, they know you. And they want to enter back into that wonderful, exciting relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that as we close with the song today, that their hearts will be lifted up, that your Holy Spirit will flow to them, and they will feel that mighty cleansing, Father, of your Holy Spirit, and revive that passion and that love. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say, Pastor Judy, I'd like to have that opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to drag you to the altar and but I want to pray for you where you are. If you're here this morning and you want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to slide your hand in the air. I'm going to pray for you this morning right where you're sitting. If that is you this morning, is there anyone that would slide their hand up and say, I want to receive Jesus Christ today? Thank you, Lord. Okay. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come humbly before your throne.
I come humbly before your throne.
Knowing that I have sinned. And I need it to be taken away. Thank you for Jesus. Who died for that sin. I pray you forgive me. Through the covenant. That Jesus provided. And take away my sin. And have your Holy Spirit come in.
To my heart.
And into my life. And give me the power. To serve you. According to your will. That the fruit of my lips. Full of thanksgiving. Will be praise and glory.
To you.
We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. He never changes. What a beautiful song. The words of this song just say so much. So why don't you stand with us as we sing?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.